My name is Laura Marland. I'm a freelance writer and artist, newly settled in Broadlands, Illinois. Headroom of one's own. My friend Carol and I have occasionally gotten into a tiff about what it takes to be a writer. Carol was my high school history teacher many years ago. Therefore, she tends toward a certain all-knowing maternalism, which at times drives me nuts. The tiff develops when she points out to me that to be a writer, one has to write every day for a significant length of time. Get real, I say. If that were true, no one except the wealthy would ever get out a book. People who do dishes, change diapers, fight fires, run insurance companies, they've written worthwhile books. I get impatient with this kind of talk about what it takes to be a writer because I think it's based on romantic notions that place more importance on artists than on art. It's about a perfectionism that dwells uneasily with creativity. But there is an argument for another requirement of the writing life that has influenced me, Virginia Woolf's A Room of One's Own. Woolf argues that a writer must have what few women of her day had, solitude, a place to retreat from the bosom of the Victorian family, to engage in that most unfeminine of activities, thought. In the spring, I married the man of my dreams. In the summer, we moved to an old country house. The floor's bare, nothing matches, it's crowded, it's home, but there's a problem. There's one bedroom, otherwise it's just one big room. My husband has begun designing the attic, says it's got plenty of room for a study, a room of my own where I can retire and write. For now, I write at an old farmhouse table, inches from the big table where we spend most of our time. Beyond the window in front of me, there's a crabapple tree swarming with robins. They make quite a picture, the birds, the berries, the clear blue sky of early autumn. Of course, I haven't written anything when anyone's around. Neither my husband nor my two stepchildren, who come to stay every few weekends and are bearers of laughter and joy. They are a great gift, the only children I will ever have. But I get tense when I hear they're planning to come. My husband says it's because I prepare for their arrival like the second coming. They're not guests, he says, just children, who understand that grown-ups have things to do and just want to be around while you're doing it. So last weekend, while they were here, there was work to be done, and I did it. I popped Beethoven into my Walkman, sat down at the little table, inches from where my new family gathered, and wrote. The pastoral filled my head, birds perched, laptop keys clicked. I'd achieved something Virginia Woolf didn't have, electronic space, headroom of my own. Between my last marriage and this one, I had time to be alone. I had an apartment overlooking Lake Michigan, where I could hear waves crashing on the beach across the street. Friends said I'd taken control of my life. I didn't write a word. It will be spring before the attic study is finished, spring before I can climb to my perfect little writer's retreat, sit among my books, be alone, create. I'm going to get lonely and go downstairs to work.